Yo, what's up, everybody? This is the Adam O Podcast. Yes, yes, today we have a very, very special treat today. Yes, I have split personalities and everybody loves both of them. That's right. We are going to get into the mindset of two alter egos today. Not just myself, but my guests. In the meantime, we're going to play some music to get you ready into the mood, motherfuckers, for my guests. Take it away, Nick the intern. Welcome to the Adam O Podcast, boys and girls.
Out to LA. The new anthem. Here it is. Love part two. To live in Don LA. West side. To live in Don LA. Where everybody try to fatten they pocket. So many hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing. Currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times. Worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother got smoked by a fiend. Trying to floss on a blind to a broken man's dream. A hard lesson, court cases keep them guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cause we're more to be free than a life in the being. Making money off of cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the scene. What's the worst they can do to a player? Got me lost in hell. To live and die in LA on bail. My people say,
the place to be.
To live and die in LA. In constant danger, South Central LA can't get no stranger. Full of drama like a soap opera. On the curb, watching the ghetto bird helicopters. I observe so many homies getting three strikes, tossed in jail. Swear to pin right across from hell. I can't cry cause it's home now. I'm just a player on his own now. Living life thug style, so I can't smell. Writing to my loved ones, sending them pictures. Thinking Cali just sun and switches. Better learn about the dress code, B's and C's. All the motherfuckers copycats, these is G's. I love Cali like I love women. Cause every brother in the lane got a little bit of thug in them. We might fight amongst each other, but I promise you this, we'll tear the roof off this bitch. To live in Don
LA.
LA is the place to be. Man, Tupac really touched my life growing up as an inner city kid. And not only as an inner city kid, but as a white Jewish male from Claremont, California. The man touched me, kids. I'm crying right now. It's unbelievable that I have Tupac in the studio today. I don't know how I booked him, but I booked him. I gave him $50 and he said, sure, why the fuck not? It's a favor. This guy makes thousands, hundreds of dollars. And remember, guys, it's all about hoax tonight. not only about Hoax, but what we could do as entertainers and what we could do to rise in this community of Los Angeles and bring people together. Not only did Tupac touch my life as a white, young, Jewish, strapped, big cock male, he also touched the kids of the Germany girls that are screaming. These white bitches in Germany are screaming Tupac Shakur. That's how fucking deep this guy got. He's a fucking pioneer, and I can say whatever I want on the Adam O podcast. That's right. Language, forget about it tonight, kids. We're going to go back into the history of a 26-year-old man. We're in 1996 now. Please welcome the one and only, my guest on the Adam O podcast. Please welcome Tupac Shakur.
Westside, what's up? And I just want to make it clear that, you know what I'm saying? When you're saying I was touching you, I wasn't touching your genitals. Just make that clear. You know what I'm saying? Just keep it real. Because Pac ain't touching no penises. Yeah. Feel me? Westside.
Ah, this is epic. Hey, Tupac, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Especially since, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people think I'm dead and shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to keep it real, trying to stay alive, you know, trying to get my money, you know.
So how did you become Tupac Shakur?
I was born, man. I was just born into the world. You know, my mom was in jail, and I was actually in her womb while she was in jail. You feel me? So it's crazy.
Oh, fuck yeah. Wait, I mean, you look just like, you are Tupac, excuse me. How did you become Tupac?
I'm confused, you know what I'm saying? Right. It's like that episode of Star Trek where the robot starts getting confused with the logical questions.
Now, the year is 1996, and you're a 26-year-old.
Nah, man, I'm 25. Got to get the information correct, man. Tupac, me, I was born in 1971, June 16th. So I was 25, actually, when I got shot up. Now I'm about, what, 40, 41.
It's 41 all good. Years old. You're here at Skid Row Studios. Kids, if you're listening to this program, the Adam O podcast, we have the world-famous Tupac Shakur in the studio, and we're going to get all into his mind momentarily. But in the meantime, if you'd like to call up this program, 800-893-9562. I sound like a college DJ at Santa Monica City College. That's 800-892-9562, motherfuckers. All right, so Tupac, who killed you?
Well, you know what I'm saying? I don't snitch. So I can't say. But for the nigga that did, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? You ain't getting no street cred off that. They don't like that shit. But actually, just recently, the nigga that shot me the first time at Quad Studios, he just came out and said he shot me, and I talked about it in one of my raps. I talked about how I got set up by Jimmy Henchman, and niggas wasn't listening. Niggas wasn't listening. You know what I'm saying? Why explain the game? Niggas ain't listening. So I'm going to tell you again, it was Jimmy Henchman. He set this whole shit up. Now everybody know about it now. But back when I was talking about it, it was cutting edge. That's how far in advance I am. I put a record out last year, and it's talking about the year 2059. You feel me?
I feel you. Wow, that's deep. So thanks for sharing all. You have no idea, kids that are listening to this audio program, of how close this guy looks to, like Tupac. I mean, okay, he is Tupac, correct? You're really the real Tupac.
Well, actually, I'm not Tupac. My name is Josh Haraway. I'm actually from West Palm Beach, Florida. I'm a Tupac impersonator. But, you know, I was in character just then. So now
wow.
This is actually who I am. I'm actually.
Holy shit balls. My mind is fucking blowing. All right. So you're. Wait a second. So I thought for a second there you really believed you were Tupac and I was going along with it.
No. I'm not Tupac at all. In fact, you know, I'm sober for 10 years now. You know, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't actually, you know, I'm kind of a square. I do search engine optimization mostly during the day. But at night, I put on this bandana and I, you know, transform myself into the world's first Tupac Shakur impersonator.
Now, how did this come about? I mean, just because you look just like him or because you want more pussy?
Well, pussy's always good. You know, you can't turn that down. But I was directing music videos, and every time I was on set, people would say, "You look just like Tupac," like 10 times every day. And after you hear that every day 10 times, you start saying, "Well, maybe I do." So I got together some bandanas, I got some fake tattoos, and some Mercedes Benzes, some porn stars. and I put together a music video starring Tupac, quote unquote, and I put it online just to get attention for my directing work. And ever since, people just kept, you know, hiring me. They wanted me to do their birthday parties, reality shows, you know, bar mitzvahs. You know, I started doing it all.
Wow. Now, how long could this actually last for, considering Tupac died when he was 26, and you've got to be about 29?
He was 25.
He was 25.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. It's the thing about Tupac, he got, you know, he got shot at that age, 25, whereas, like, Elvis, you know, he went through all those phases. Mm. You got fat Elvis, you got young Elvis. So it's definitely like Tupac is the 25-year-old. So you got to be in that kind of shape. You got to stay in that shape. Can't be eating donuts. You know, it's not like Biggie, you know.
No, I was going to ask you, I mean that's the physicality of playing this role. I mean, when you do turn, say, 40, how do you train your body to look like a 25-year-old Tupac Shakur? I mean, it's insane.
Well, I mean, I don't plan to be.
I mean,
doing
the discipline.
40.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I said, I'm not Tupac. You know what I mean? And in fact, I do a lot of other stuff. Like I said, you know, I do search engine optimization. I'm actually an actor. I'm a director. So I'm not Tupac. So I don't plan, you know, when I'm 40, 50 years old to be like doing a West Side and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, you know, I'm Josh. I'm Josh.
So tell us, what's your full name?
Josh Timothy Haraway. Joshua.
Now, let's ask Nick the intern. Nick the intern, how close does this guy look to the real Tupac Shakur?
Silence.
Yeah, it's actually really scary how close you look like him. And I mean, I give you credit. That's the best actor that we could see, is the one that can discipline himself and play a role and get inside the psyche of Tupac Shakur, let alone any actor. We're all trying to search for that on the silver screen. Now, do you also act as well?
Yeah, I actually act. And I went to a performing arts school, like Tupac did, in Baltimore. I went to one in Florida, and I studied theater and Shakespeare and all that good stuff. And I actually play a lot of different roles other than Tupac. So, you know, I don't mind, like, you know, if we talk about some of my other stuff I do. Because, you know, I'm not just Tupac. You know what I mean?
It's, no, absolutely. I don't want to just label you, into a box.
You know, I do, you know, I'm done Hamlet, you know.
Let's hear a Hamlet monologue.
Well, I don't actually have.
Let's hear any monologue that you could think of besides Tupac Shakur. We heard your Tupac, it's terrific. Now we see you as Josh. You're a tech geek, as you're saying, and you're also an actor. I mean, fuck, Hollywood needs to fucking book you, Josh.
They do, man. In fact, I'll do my monologue from the back of Ed Gita.
This is okay. Brewing, kids. If you're listening to the Adam O podcast, we have Josh and Tupac Shakur here, split personalities, and we're getting into the psyche of this wonderful, brilliant actor. So take it away.
All right, I'm going to play Sanjaya from the Bhagavad Gita, the ancient book of Indian wisdom. Okay, here we go. Arjuna told this to Krishna, then saying, "I shall not fight." He fell silent. Mocking him gently, Krishna gave this counsel as Arjuna sat dejected between the two armies. Now, this is Lord Krishna's response. "You grieve for those beyond grief, and you speak words of insight. But learned men do not grieve for the dead or the living. Never have I not existed, nor you, nor these kings, and never in the future shall we cease to exist." Thank you.
Wow. So you audition a lot?
Yeah, I audition more than I book, but I think that's what everybody does. And then I do play, I play video in videos, you know, music videos as people that aren't Tupac. You know, I played a guy that was on crack quite a few times. I've been a crackhead quite a few times. That seems to be a recurring theme in my career.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's
Let's
my
be
height.
Honest here.
I think it's my height.
Really?
I think most crackheads are about 5'10".
Mm.
So when they see me, they're like, "Wow, that guy, he's the height of a crackhead."
Mm.
And then I end up, you know, playing the role.
Very, very neat. Now, are you an Obama supporter?
Yes, I am.
Because I could see a lot going on with this whole Tupac, with Obama, the new campaign. I know you kind of want to move on into the big pictures, but I think this is like also a gateway in, and I'm sure you've heard of that many times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you could stand, you know, as a spokesman at the White House.
Yeah, yeah, that would be dope. You know, I would probably wear, you know, like a red bandana, or what would it be, blue? I'm trying to remember GOP Donkeys. Which one is which? I get it confused.
The Donkeys actually the Republican Party.
That's right.
I'm just joking.
No, you're wrong. Okay.
Okay.
So, but here's the thing, man. I totally support Obama. I think he's doing a great job. And I think, you know, he's had some difficulties, some obstacles, you know, some resistance. But I'm definitely an Obama supporter. And it makes me think about that one line in the Tupac song, Changes.
There was a black president. Wait, how does it go?
And though it seems heaven sent, we ain't ready to see a black president. And in a secret, don't conceal the fact. The penitentiary's packed and it's filled with blacks.
Yeah, man. This is... Dude, you're like the real Denzel right here in live studio.
Thanks, man. Thanks,
fuck,
dude.
This is epic. You're a fucking brilliant actor.
Thanks, bro. That's why I got now, into this, man. I look at it as an acting role, you know what I mean? And it's funny because it's like people take it as like I'm the Tupac guy. And it's like, you know, it just becomes this thing. But there's so much other stuff, man, other than Tupac.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a lot more to you. I mean, as we're revealing. So do you ever feel embarrassed as Tupac?
No, you know what, dude? I don't feel embarrassed as Tupac at all, man. Like, Tupac is the shit. Tupac and the impersonation that I created of him. I mean, I was the world's first Tupac impersonator. Like, before I started doing it, nobody had done it. And I started doing it, and I got all kinds of fucking criticism. People were like, what the fuck are you doing? Let Tupac rest in peace. You're a fucking nerd, and you're disgracing this great thug icon. And just fuck you. If I see you on the streets, I'm going to blow you away with my AK-47. I got all kinds of death threats on my YouTube page. And then now, you know what I mean? Everybody is fucking trying to do it. Everybody's trying to be Tupac for the new movie. Everybody's on YouTube.
Wait a second. There's a new movie of Tupac.
There is a movie in the works.
Now, are you going to star?
I have auditioned three times so far. They've been going through all sorts
of... If they don't book you... You know, I'm going to change my religion to being Jewish.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were Jewish already.
Yeah, I am. But seriously, Josh, they have to book you. Now, who's producing this film?
It's Morgan Creek. Morgan Creek is a production company or whatever, and I think they also do distribution. And they had a big lawsuit back in 2010 where they were going back and forth with Afeni Shakur, Tupac's mother, and Tupac's estate, and they wrestled the rights to Tupac's biopic from his mom. So they have the right to do the movie. That was settled in 2000.
Now, I'm curious what kind of claim to fame and what kind of prank we pulled to really get Hollywood's attention and book you this role. I mean, let's think here. What can we do? Can we put T-shirts out on Skid Row every morning, like thousands of T-shirts that say that your website on the back and the front, it says Tupac. So everybody gets these shirts. Eventually, it's like the best type of branding. When they wake up, they have shirts that say Tupac, and you're also doing something for the good of the community. I mean, let's think. Let's put our minds together. We're two brilliant Jews. Did Tupac like Jews?
Tupac loved apple juice. And I assume by default, he would have to like Jews too.
Now, how come he says that line in that one song about a drop of Jew at the studio?
Oh, I drop a jewel at the studio, hoping it pays. Watching time fly by, getting high in L.A.
I mean, I guess Jewish could be cheap. I mean, sure. Well, I mean, I've seen a lot of movies, and yeah, I mean, that's all I really know.
No, I think he said jewel. I don't think he said
Are you jewel. Serious? I thought I was Jew, and I've always been that's pretty tight.
No, he said jewel because he's trying to say, like, his words, his raps were what was getting him paid.
Really?
So he was saying, like, he's going to drop, like, a jewel onto the fucking CD.
No shit. So when I was in Israel in 2007, I was singing all those lyrics going, I'm going to drop a jewel at the studio. And that's probably why I got deported back here. Okay. So let's move on here. So let's put our heads together. What could we really do to make you the new Tupac Shakur in this feature film that will branch off and help your career? Because I'm a strong believer in your career.
Thanks, bro. Hey, I like you, dude.
What's the range that you could play as an actor? I see you could play an Indian.
You mean like the racial range? Or like,
no, as an actor, you could play pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah. I can do whatever, man. I mean, it's all about the vowel sounds, A-E-I-O-U. If you get the vowel sounds down, whether it's A-E-I-O-U, you can do a British accent. If you get the Tupac vowel sounds down, it's more like A-E-I-O-U, you know? And I just focus on the vowel sounds, and then the consonants come together. Everybody's got, you know, a little bit of you know, a different kind of way of pronouncing certain words that are in their vocabulary that other people don't use, and then a certain kind of, like, grammatical structure. But once you get the vowels, you're, like, halfway there. And I just kind of focus on that. And then of course, like, there's, like, the set dressing and what you're wearing, the attitude, there's the walk, all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, dude, I could play whatever, man. Like, if I can just study it, put my mind to it, I feel like I'm really able to, like kind of see myself. I think you're the same way, too. Like, I kind of can laugh at myself.
Mm.
And I can, like, see other people and kind of try and feel like, why do they think this way? Or how do they feel this way? Or why do they walk like this? And then after a while, you're just in there, you know? You're like, hey, boys and girls, I'm the new dinosaur, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually the new dinosaur. I'm the new Pee-wee Herman on acid. And it's kind of disturbing how I haven't really developed a full character yet. I'm still myself. I'm not so radio DJ character, aka Adam O, right now on the Adam O podcast. I'm more of this wacky, innocent, fun-loving dude. Whereas you've developed a full-blown character from the walk to the vowels, and that blows my mind. And I'm still searching for that, Josh. When you did my show, the Adam Shankman special, what, 3.5 years ago? I mean, you were in full character. You're still in full character. You're playing that character. You're auditioning for the feature film of Tupac Shakur. And I'm wandering around Hollywood. Sure, this studio gets millions of listeners here at Skid Row Studios. And so I guess this is my claim to fame. However, I'm really happy being myself now. You know, I'm not, you know, trying to impersonate anybody. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, I understand what
you're just
saying.
I'm being myself. And for some reason, it's actually working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Jewish magazines write me and say I'm their top 100 Heeb of the year.
Nice.
So it seems to be working in one vein or another.
You know what? I do believe strongly in just being yourself. Because, honestly, you can't be someone else. They've already been
But
themselves.
You're Tupac Shakur. You're an impersonator. How does that make sense?
Well, here's the thing, though. The thing about it is, like, I have a lot of ideas, and it's like children. Like, that one kid that goes off and becomes a serial killer, like, you know, everyone knows about him. But what about all the other kids? You know, they just went to school, they did their thing, or they got a job at the Walmart. You know what I mean? I have a lot of other ideas like that. Like, for instance, I invented a new genre of music. It's called the numeric lyric, okay? And I'm really trying to get the kids into it, okay? Basically, math and numbers are a universal language, and music is a universal language. So I've combined them together. And it's basically singing numbers. And I'd love to play you some of it later on in the show.
Well, why don't we play that right now? Can
yeah,
we?
Yeah, let's play it. I'll just play it off my phone.
All right.
But, yeah, that's what I'm really about, man. I'm really about the numeric lyric. And I've been recording a lot of those songs. But the funny thing is, it's like that one kid. Like, you know, everyone loves Tupac. Everyone knows Tupac. So that's what I'm best known for. But it's like I've written books. I've got, like, a screenplay that's in pre-production right now. For a movie about Nat Turner, the slave revolt that happened in 1831.
Mm.
But it's like, you know, people are like, do that Tupac thing, man. Do the Tupac thing. And it's like, you know, but at the same time, I'm really appreciative of the Tupac thing. Like, I don't want
Yeah, to I mean, I think it's a novelty as well, kind of, the Tupac thing. I mean, I know there's a lot more to you. You're a brilliant man. You once told me about how to market yourself on the interwebs, and that kind of blew my mind, the way you were speaking. So I know damn well that you're a genius. However, the listeners need to know that, and they need to know who you are. Before you play this song, where could we find you on the internet?
You can find me for my Tupac impersonation at TupacImpersonator.com. You can just find me on Personal Tip at Facebook.com/Josh Haraway. You can find this production that I'm working on right now called Nat Turner Unchained. It's a featured film about the Nat Turner slave revolt. You can find that at natturnermovie.com, and you can also find it on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/Josh Haraway, JOSHHARRAWAY. So yeah, you can just Google me and all that stuff will come up. Josh Haraway, JOSHHARRAWAY.
I'll book you. So do you also do children's birthday parties or children's shows, the breakfast show with Adam O?
Well, unfortunately, since last October, been a sex offender, and I'm no longer allowed to do children's shows.
Wait a second. Before you play this music, hold that thought. Wait, what do you mean you've been a sex offender?
I'm just pulling your leg. I can do your kids' party. I can babysit. Just, you know, let me know.
All right, you got me there. Good. Nice. All right, yeah. Take it away, Josh.
Yeah. So anyway, This is the numeric lyric, okay?
Very, very cool. Boys and girls, if you're listening to the Adam O podcast here at SkidRowStudios.com, please call up the show at 800-893-9562 to talk to the world-famous Tupac Shakur impersonator.
9, 6, 6, 2, 9, 0, 4, 3, 5, 7, 2.
Yes, nice. Very, very catchy. Very hip. You're not kidding about the kids liking this.
Yeah, man, that's the numeric lyric, and no one's ever done this before.
Holy shit, that was actually very cool. I mean, that actually is, you're a brilliant man. Fucking A.
Dude,
Nick, what do you think about that?
It's amazing, dude. Amazing, man. You gotta keep creative, trying all sorts of ideas all the time, man. Yeah.
No, totally. Yep. Thanks. I've been working on this for a little while now, and I mean, as you can imagine, it's not the easiest thing to get people are like, what, numbers? I don't get it. But I'm really chipping away, and I'm actually about to shoot a music video. I've created this character who's actually singing the numbers. And the whole thing came from an idea I had. Like, I was 19, and I was working as a file clerk, and I was filing away, like, mortgage paperwork. Because when you sign your mortgage paperwork, somebody's got to keep the actual signed copies in case you ever say, hey, I never signed that. You know what I mean? So I'm filing away these mortgage files. And, you know, it was hard to remember which number I needed to, like, put where. So I would grab, like, 10 files, and I would try and sing the numbers. And I'd be like, 735-286-267-592-345-296. And that would help me to remember it better, so I wouldn't have to keep going back to the batch files and where does this one go? So I kept, you know, singing numbers all day long, and I was just like, you know, numbers are universal, music is universal, you know, why not combine them? Why not make the numeric lyric? And then I wrote a book about it back then, but I never really knew, like, all those years I was trying to figure out what would it sound like, you know, would it be rap, would it be singing, what would it be? And I kept trying to figure out, like, how to make the music. And then I figured out it's a lyric-based art form, so it's not really about the beat. It's more about the lyrics. You can sing it. You can chant it. You can rap it. It can go over country music. It can go over rap. It can go over guitar. It could be like Kurt Cobain, you know, singing, you know, a song like guitar style, but instead of lyrics, it's numbers. You know what I mean? So I just started getting into it, man. I really think it is the new genre, man. It's like the new jazz, because in a lot of ways, we've seen the evolution of music go from just a bunch of people in, like, a tribe with, like, basic drums just coming from the heart to, you know, more professional instruments, to the point where the instruments are actually synthesized computers, to the point where, like, even voices are being auto-tuned and it's almost robotic. So in a way, the numeric lyric is like the mechanicization or whatever of the actual lyrics. You know what I mean? Instead of synthesizers and drum machines, it's actually the people are even singing in fucking numbers. You know what I mean? It's almost like turning into robots in a certain way. But yeah, I don't know, dude. I think it could catch on, man. I mean, I think people would really trip off of it. So thanks for giving me the opportunity to fucking—
Are you kidding me? That was fucking incredible. Now, where can we find this? On your website?
You can actually find this on youtube.com/numeric lyric, NUMERICLYRIC, youtube.com/numeric lyric.
Now, I'm blown away, not only what you just said and what you've been saying and what you've been reading and what you've been telling me, but you seem like a very spiritual person. What kind of practice do you practice, if you do?
You know what? I grew up Jehovah's Witness. So I was that kid that would knock on your door Saturday morning when you were trying to rest. And then you'd come to the door and I would say, hi, how are you? Would you like to hear a Bible?
I just said I'm Jewish. that was the one thing I got lucky with being this religion.
It's true, because when you say Jewish, I think we, as Jehovah's Witnesses, were taught that, like, that's the hardest religion to convert. <That's> So seriously, you'd kind of back off from Jewish
sure.
people. But I don't know, man. I grew up Jehovah's Witness, so I had the Bible, like, shoved up my ass, like, every single week, like, 4 or 5 times a week.
It's funny you just said ass. That was the first, you know, cuss word that you've said on the program, and I was watching your mannerisms, how professional you keep it, and here I am saying these unnecessary fucks and shits, and it makes me cheap, and I was watching how classy you were, but you said it in the right content, so I was also going to comment on that. It's interesting you said that. I'm very well into your psyche right now. Of course, that's what I have to do because you also have split personalities as performers, which is, makes the great actors, right? Chameleons?
Yeah, well, you know what, dude? I always, as a Jehovah's Witness, had to be a bunch of different people because when I was at the Kingdom Hall, which is like Jehovah's Witness church, like you can't curse. You got to sit up straight. You got to wear a suit. You got to, you know, you got to go to the door and really be into that stuff. But then when I'm in school with my friends, I'm like cursing and I'm having fun and I'm doing my thing. And then and it was like this dual reality, you know. So I started early on like creating these personalities, and then I would put everything I wanted to get like satisfied and fulfilled into that personality. And then that's the personality I would use to explore that area that I couldn't do in the other personality that's all like upright and whatever. So I started creating all these characters, and I got a guy named Dusty Rose. He's like my hip hop character. Josh Haraway is just, you know, he's me, you know. And then, you know, Tupac allows me to just do stuff that like
you can't do as Josh Haraway.
Like Josh Haraway doesn't usually just walk into like, you know, like the Belasco with like 2,000, you know, hot.
You know, I was just there recently. It's a fucking amazing venue.
It
is. That ceiling blows my mind.
It's incredible.
Now, do you have a social life too where you just go dancing, not as Tupac or Josh, but like as this like other guy that wants to pick up chicks?
I have. I mean, like the thing about like the Tupac thing, it's crazy because like I'll dress like Pac and just, it's just like, flip, like what do they call it? Peacocking. You know what I mean? Like, the chicks will just like.
No, I'm not gay at all, but you might be the sexiest black man I've ever seen.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Does it really?
No,
I'm just speaking. I mean, Nick agrees too. Nick, wouldn't you agree with that?
Yup. Definitely.
All right. So getting back to spiritual, I practice transcendental meditation. It seems to calm me down.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I got a little bit more knowledge since I've last seen you. As far as calming down and being more focused with my words and being nervous or stuttering. So you're doing numbers and I'm focused on another person's speech versus what I have to say and what I have to get achieved. So I think that's the biggest achievement in my career in the last 3 years.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man, because I have been getting into meditation myself, but I find it hard sometimes. Things will get busy. I'll have like a 12-hour shift. Something will be going on, and then I'll skip it one day. Then the next day, I skip it. And then I find, like, a week has passed, and I haven't done it. And it's like, that's really cool, man. I can totally respect that.
Thank you.
And I need to, like, you just reminded me that I need to, like, jump back on my meditation thing because I feel great after I meditate.
Mm.
I feel at peace. I feel at one with the universe. And it's, like, it's a cool thing to, like, because you get to that point, and then it's, like, your car tune-up, like, slowly it breaks back into, like, where it was before, and you got to keep doing it. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. It's like fucking. Now, what what kind of chicks do you like, and what kind of chicks go for you?
You know what? I'm just going to say I look at it like a buffet.
Like a buffet.
You know, sometimes you want to eat chicken, but, you know, you don't want to eat chicken for breakfast, lunch, dinner, then the next day eat chicken, lunch. You might want some rice in there. You might want some salad. But then the other day, you might be at the movies and you might eat popcorn. And popcorn has no nutritional value. You would never eat popcorn every single day, but it tastes really good.
So you're describing an Asian chick.
Well, actually, I love Asian chicks.
Okay, so I was on to that.
Yeah,
thanks to the meditation.
Yeah, I love Asian women. Let me rephrase that. I love all women. I find beauty in like every race of woman, every type of woman. I like women that are a little bit bigger. Women that are skinny, women that I think you can find beauty in all different types of women. And in fact, I really dislike how like the media and just like there's this air around, and it's like beautiful women are only this, like the chick in the magazine or the chick on the screen. And it's like, in order to be a hot chick, you got to be the blonde that's this skinny, this tall. And then, and I'm like, no, fuck that. I would fuck that blonde. Like, I want to.
Do you get a lot of pussy? More when you're Tupac. More when you're Tupac.
Man,
you get a shitload of pussy.
Well,
I'm not getting you in trouble. This is what people want to hear.
Well, you know what, dude? I don't really have much problems with chicks.
I don't think you do.
But I don't want to put it like I get a lot of pussy. Like I'm like out. Like I appreciate women. It's not so much like I'm just trying to get laid. Like I just
you're a spiritual gigolo.
No, I appreciate women, and I think a lot of times, like dudes look at women like, or just a lot of dudes that I know like look at women like something to fuck or like. Whatever, like, just she's like an object, but like, really, like, when you start really like listening to a chick, like, and you're not just trying to have sex with her, you're actually listening. Like, there's so many beautiful things that like women see that we don't see. That just, I mean, so many women have just opened my eyes to like whole new ways of looking at things that just as dudes, we're just fucking our dicks hanging out, we're walking around, we don't see it, and it's just like, it's almost like. Like afraid to like go that direction because it's like that's gay or like you know what I mean. But like when you're listening to a woman explain her view of the world, it's like wow, you know, that's a whole nother side. So yeah, man, I think women are beautiful, man. If I had to pick, I'd say women, dude.
Yeah, of course, me
They're
too.
They're the superior sex, bro.
Yeah, Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
All right, so moving right along. Speaking about women, I mean, when you're in bed with them, I mean, do you ever play Tupac in bed? I mean, I would. I'd fucking do that all the time. I'd be like, how do you want it, bitch? I mean, that turns me on. I can't do that the way I look. I could do like a Pee Wee Herman impersonation. And if I'm lucky, I do it right.
You know what? I'm happy to say that, you know, that I'm taken for who I am. Because the thing is, like, that would be a little creepy.
Would
if
it?
Someone I really wanted to be with was only with me because I look like Pac, you know what I mean? Even if maybe she enjoyed that, like, kind of, you know, that would be cool. But, like, if it was, like, I only get off because you look like Pac, like, it would be a little bit, I'd be like, oh, like, that kind of hurts a little bit. Like, but I'm sure there's, you know.
Well, so much to say. We're at the Adam O podcast. This is a terrific interview right now with a good friend of mine, Josh Haraway. And then we're also with the Tupac impersonator of the world who changed the world, the first Tupac impersonator. Now, Josh, or actually, could we get back into Tupac now, if you don't mind?
I've been here the whole time, man.
Oh,
listening
shit.
To this motherfucker talk about weird shit.
Okay. yo, Pac, do you mind giving us a couple of your new hits?
Let's do it.
Nick, why don't we play hit one of Tupac's new hit? Take it away with Tupac Shakur, live at the Adam O podcast. You're listening to Skid Row Studios.
Fresh out of jail, California dreaming. Soon as I step on the scene, I'm hearing hoochie screaming. Feeding for money and alcohol, the life of a West Star player with cowards die. The strong bar, only in Cali will we riot, not rally to live and die. In LA, we wear chucks, not that, that's right. Dressed in loafs and khaki suits and riders, what we do. Flossing but have caution, we collide with other groups. Famous because we program worldwide. Let them recognize from Long Beach to Rosecrans. Bumping and grinding like a slow jam. It's West Side, so you know the road won't bow down to no man. Say what you say, but give me that bomb beat from Dre. Let me serenade the streets of L.A. From Oakland to Sac Town, the Bay Area, then back there. Cali is where they put their Mac down. Give me love. Yeah, that's my new shit. Y'all probably ain't heard that before. I'm dropping it on the Adam O podcast. I call it California Love. Everybody gonna be bumping this. Give it a couple months, and I bet everybody gonna be singing this song. They all gonna know the lyrics and everything. You feel me? Yeah.
Woo! Damn! Dude, that was bringing... All right, I'm sorry. I'm not gonna call you Josh. Pac, that was fucking epic.
Yeah.
How did you write a song like that?
Man, I just dig deep. Feel me? I just dig deep into my soul. You feel me? And just come up with what's real. I'm just talking what's real. That's really me. You know, I really was out on bail. I'm not making that up. I was in jail. You feel me?
Now, when you were singing that, I got chills. The first thing I did was grab my iPhone and put it up as if I'm at a concert and you're right in front of me 5 feet away. Bravo, Josh, or Tupac.
Okay, so I'm Josh again.
Dude, you just might be the next best thing since Marlon Brando. Fucking awesome, dude. This is incredible. Now, how do you feel? Dude, Marlon, that's your...
I could have been somebody. If you just had looked out for me. If you just had cared. I could have been a contender.
Very, very cool. Now, Tupac.
Yeah.
Now, could we do another hit song? I mean, if you don't mind, your voice, is it rested?
Yeah, let's do it.
So what's this album going to be called?
I don't know. 7 Day Theory, Illuminati, Caluminati. I'm still thinking about it.
And now, how old are you?
Now I'm having a breakdown. I don't know. Because the thing is, right... Is it Tupac from that time?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Or is it Tupac from now? See, that's like the alternative universe. Like it's like Back to the Future. Like if they meet, they like.
Now, do you think Tupac's is as famous as like Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley?
You know what I think, and I think about this a lot. Like, there's a time frame to fame. Like, you know, some people get famous, right, and then. They're only famous for, you know, 2007 or 2005. Like let's say Jaquan.
Like an internet video.
Yeah, like everybody in the club getting tipsy.
Sure.
Everybody knew that, like, in 2005. But now it's like nobody knows it. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like Tupac is one of the biggest artists ever. He stands for a lot that's relevant and will probably always be relevant as long as the American Empire is around. And I think that he will be famous for a long time. But, like, if you compare him to, like, Jesus, like, I don't know. Like, some people compare him to, like, Jesus. Well, I don't know if I would take it to that
he's
level.
He's an, you know, an African-American's Jesus in many ways. I mean, yeah. not everybody, but, you know, those that look up to music at a young age and growing up, you know, in the inner city especially. I mean, let's not lie. It's true.
Yeah,
it's like a white kid in Seattle on a bench right now smoking cigarettes with his friends thinks he's going to be the next Kurt Cobain. He's a god in their eyes.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the thing is, like, I think he deserves that status, and he really, really played that role. He really is that icon. But it's always hard. Like you said, Elvis, Michael Jackson, it's hard to compare them because – like, it's so generational. Like, I mean, what Tupac stands for is, like, Michael Jackson is, like, not even... I mean, it's, like, a completely different realm.
Now, if you were to walk down Skid Row in downtown L.A., a few blocks from here, and you were to walk down Skid Row as Tupac, do you think that you could really wake the dead? I mean, do you think you could change these people? And do you think that, like, when I say these people, I mean the people on Skid Row... that know Tupac, that can't identify Justin Bieber, but they can identify Tupac. That is fucking powerful, my friend. Do you think you could get them to clap and stand on their feet and stop doing whatever they're doing for that moment, whether it's sleeping, pissing, or doing drugs, or eating breakfast, or having a good conversation with a friend? Do you think you could make an impact for that one stretch on that one street in Skid Row as Tupac Shakur, the impersonator?
Both black and white is smoking crack tonight.
Fuck.
I think
that would be a fucking internet viral video right there. It'd be real.
I think we should do it, man. It's crazy. When I go out dressed like Tupac, I get fucking surprised by what happens. Like, the first times I did it, like, it was just ridiculous. Cars honking, people beeping. I mean, you got to understand, I did this to start with. I did this to start with to get attention for my directing work, that I was a creative director who could come up with a way to market a video. That's what I did it for. I liked Tupac. I thought he was cool. I had listened to his music. But I didn't realize 6 years ago that, you know, how powerful it would become. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to do this video, and then I'll do another video about something else. Like I was, like, on Saturday Night Live or something. And when I went to get yogurt from Ralph's, people start coming up to me, and they're like, what the fuck? Like, all the bag boys are surrounding me, like, what are you doing? Can I take a picture? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a minute. This might be something bigger than what I was thinking. So, yeah, man, if we went to Skid Row, it would probably be crazy. I mean, people really react in weird ways. Like people start crying and just be. And here's the thing, man. I'm not Tupac. I'm Josh. And I never get that. I try not to get that confused because, you know, if you're going to walk in Tupac's shoes, he carried a lot of weight. I mean, he got shot many times. He, you know, endured a lot. He went to prison. So I don't ever try to confuse it to make people think like I'm trying to be him. All I'm really trying to do is give the kid who's going to the museum, looking at the dinosaurs, and I don't mean this in any disrespect to Tupac, who's looking up saying, wow, this is what a dinosaur looked like. Like, I can feel it. I'm just trying to give a museum experience. I'm trying to give people a feeling of seeing someone they respected, someone they admired and adored, what it might feel like to stand next to them, to see them perform. But when it crosses that line where it's like, I'm pretending I'm him and I'm speaking for him and all that kind of stuff, then that's for me personally, that's where I draw the line. Like, so you know, like I said, I always claim, you know, I'm the world's first Tupac impersonator. But there are guys out there running around trying to sign checks.
But that's
stuff,
what I mean? That's what I think you're the real deal as far as what you're doing with the Tupac thing. I mean, besides career, it's real, it's genuine, and I get it, and that's why I like you. And that's why I wouldn't have a guy just on Hollywood Boulevard impersonating Superman or Michael Jackson. There's no soul behind that. I mean, there could be. However, come on, let's face it. You get it. I get it. We're here and we're going to fucking make it. Now let's take it away with Changes. And I'm going to join you on this one, my man.
Let's do it, man.
All right. I haven't done this since 96. Holy shit.
I love this song. It's so relevant, man. When he talks about the president.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, that's actually Dear Mama.
Yeah, that's Dear Mama. You know, that's a new hit of yours with Tupac?
It's about my mom's, you know?
You're saying that as Josh.
Oh, yeah. See, that's where I'm getting confused. Well, did you want to do Dear Mama? Or you want to
I say
Changes?
We do Changes.
Let's jump in. It's track number four.
All right, so this is Adam O and Tupac Shakur. I get to actually sing with Tupac. Now, I noticed you were drawing some tattoos before you walked in the studio. Do you draw your tattoos? I thought those were real.
No, I actually don't have any tattoos. I don't have any piercings. And I think it might go back to my Jehovah's Witness upbringing. I just don't want to mar my body.
But if the fans saw what through my eyes right now, I mean, we're talking a Quentin Tarantino movie meets a fucking trilogy of Godfather with what I'm experiencing on this podcast with you right now. Of you drawing your tattoos, you're expressing two different people. Nick's back there just going along, blowing away. We're all blown away. This, my friends, is what I'm talking about. This is good fucking internet. Now, I want to ask you a question real fast. All right, before we do little Changes and before we call Petco saying that I lost my dog, Tupac stole him. I want to ask you a question about the whole hologram thing, if you don't mind revealing some of that.
Well, before we talk about the hologram, I have to say I signed a non-disclosure agreement with Dr. Dre.
Bullshit.
Seriously, yeah.
You're serious?
I signed a non-disclosure agreement.
With Dre?
Yeah. So I'm not really allowed to talk about really the details of it. I can say it was one of the best experiences of my Tupac impersonation career.
Now, is that Coachella?
Yeah, for the Coachella.
Holy shit. How many people was that in front of?
All I can say is I contributed to that project, but I'm not allowed to talk about any of the...
Sure.
Any of the details.
Did you get paid well?
I got paid well.
How was Dr. Dre?
I can't say. He specifically made me, and I'd hate to, like, you know, ruin my, you know, fledgling relationship with Dre. But he made me sign an agreement. So, and you know what's funny? Like, it's cool because I guess, like, it's a new technology and just the whole thing is, like, a new thing. So he didn't want anybody. And not just me, but, like, everybody, the special effects guys, like, everybody had to sign saying that, you know, they weren't going to, like, talk about anything having to do with it at the expense of I don't know how much money they would have to pay if they did. So.
Really? Now, Dr. Dre discovered you.
Actually, I went to an audition. And then the next morning they called me up and they're just like, you know, Dre, we want you to come meet Dre. You know, here we're gonna fax you a non-disclosure.
Now, what is a hologram?
Well, basically, you know, a hologram is just an image that you can see through. Like you know, in Star Wars when you see the different computer holograms they have, the way they communicate. R2-D2 projects Princess Leia, and you can see through her, but you can see her. So, you know, it makes it feel like it's a ghost almost. It's kind of like a technological ghost.
So you might be the ghost of Tupac Shakur in front of me. Maybe that's what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down to.
Because you have that spirit of poetry as well, believe it or not. He had that other side to him.
Yeah, yeah. I dig poetry. You know what's funny, man? I'm not like Tupac in a lot of ways. But then again, I
think you're just like him.
It's weird because then I am like him. Like, we both went to art school. We're both writers. So it's weird. Like, sometimes I'm like, I'm so different from Pac. But it's like, then I'm like, wait a minute. Like, we are kind of similar. But it's weird, man. It's a fucking mind fuck, dude.
Now, what's the chances of getting Dr. Dre in this studio?
Honestly? Through my efforts?
Through your efforts.
I'm going to say 0.001%. And I'm just being honest.
All right, fair enough. Let's take it away with Changes with Adam O and Tupac Shakur, motherfuckers. Take it away, Nick.
Yeah, and I mean that with no disrespect. Being true.
Well, I'm going to put it through these lyrics now of yours. All right, Pac? I can't believe I'm speaking of Pac. This is incredible.
That's how it is sometimes.
There it is. You got the first one.
I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Put a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a hero. Get a crack to the kids, who the hell cares? One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First, give them dope, let them do the brothers. Give them buns, that back like a punch brother. It's time to fight back, as Huey said. Two shots in the dog, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brothers, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as your brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother when he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but things change, Adam. That's the way it is.
Oh, yeah. I got yo. I'm like, what do you call it, groupie? Yo, Pac, what do you call me?
My backup man?
I'm Adam O.
Oh, see, I'm forgetting who I am now.
You're confusing me, man.
Man, stop fucking my track up.
Yo, I'm going to be a hologram, too, of Snoop now.
I see no changes. All I see is racist faces. Misplaced hate makes the waste this. I wonder what it takes to make this for me to get laid with the fucking stripper. I want to fuck so I can get some pussy. I'm so horny as I do this podcast. Every Tuesday night, I drink a Heineken brew like the MCA that died 3 years ago, motherfuckers. I want to fuck. I want to be a hologram like Snoop and get signed with Dr. Dre. And here at the Skid Row Studios, you're listening to me to flow. Take it away, Pac.
Yeah. Hey, can Josh get in on this? This is Josh Haraway rapping with Tupac and Adam O. Check it out. Yo. I don't usually rap. I just sit on the phone playing with my bone. Now I'm going home.
Yo, that was cool. Yo, take it. All right, Nick. One more verse. Let's go deep on this. All right, we just forgot the lyrics. Pac and the Man, right? It's just, okay, we're moving right along. If you're listening to this podcast, this has been one of the best episodes here at Skid Row Studios on the Adam O Podcast. We have about 5 minutes left on this wonderful program on this Tuesday evening to call up the studio and talk to Tupac Shakur or myself. That's 800-893-9562. That was Changes by my man in front of me, Tupac Shakur.
Yeah.
So we're gonna call real fast. What do you say about calling Petco, saying that I'm a customer and that I lost my dog outside? A Tupac, you know, took my dog. They're probably gonna say like, what? A Tupac? And I want you to get on the mic and I want you to be like, this is Tupac Shakur. Like, do your voice. And I want, and then you know, I want to see what happens. I want to go with this.
I love animals.
All right, take it away, Nick. Let's call up the Petco. This is the Petco on South La Brea. What if somebody broke into my house and I'm like, Tupac robbed my house, and then like they grab you, they see you, they arrest you, and you're like, holy shit, really? That would be, I mean, that shit is...
Tupac, you're robbing your house, man.
All right, you're Tupac, not Josh.
Thank you for calling Petco La Brea. This is Chris. How may I help you?
Hi, Chris. This is Shuttlesworth, Jesus Shuttlesworth. I was actually in the parking lot, and my cat actually was just swooped from Tupac Shakur.
I'm sorry?
My cat was just swooped from Tupac Shakur, and I'm really panicking, and I'm a nervous Jew, so maybe you could help me. He's right after me. He's right behind me.
Yo, come back.
Come back. Yeah.
Ah, all right.
West Side.
All right. Now let's call them one more. Let's call up Cheetah Strip Club and let's see if they need a Tupac Mel hologram tonight on their program. Maybe we can make you some money. All right. And I'm your manager. I'm your New York shark. All right. Let's take it away, Nick, to Cheetah's Strip Club on Hollywood Boulevard. That could have been good, but
they hung up on us.
All right, you know what? Let's call back Petco, and let's call back Petco. Actually, let's talk to him and say, and we'll just say happy. You'll just say happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
All right. What about Cheetah's? Can we get through to them?
Yeah, you want me to call Cheetah's? Or
yeah,
Petco?
Actually, you know what? Started to confuse you. Let's go with Cheetah's. Okay. We already did Petco. That worked. That was fun.
Okay.
I like how he just hung up on us. You know what I'm saying?
All right. This is Cheetahs. Huh.
Cheaters or Cheetahs?
Cheetahs. Okay. Wait, say it again.
Cheaters.
You never been to Cheetahs, Pac?
Man, I died at 96, man.
All right, here we go. All right. Let's be cool. I'm going to go real fast this time to let you talk. And then say I'm going to introduce my entourage. Straight, where were we from? All right, fuck it.
I'm from Oakland.
Oakland.
You have reached a number that has been disconnected.
All right.
Or is no longer in service.
What's the next one that I have on the list?
That was Cheetah's. You want to call Roscoe's?
Roscoe's Chicken Waffles?
We're sorry.
All right. What about Roscoe's Chicken Waffles?
Let's
like if
do
you
it.
Were the spokesman of Tupac and greeted people, like
let's,
a, host, a
let's
bus
do
boy.
It.
All right. Here we go. You're going to take this one.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Tupac Shakur, and I want to be your spokesperson.
All right, let's see what's up.
All right, here we go. Should it be more real if I introduce you like I'm your manager? I need my boy to get work. No. You do this one.
Okay.
All right, fuck it. All right. So listen, we have about 10 seconds left. We tried with Roscoe's Chicken Waffles. This was the wonderful Tupac Shakur and Josh Haraway. This has been an absolute pleasure. We'll see you next Tuesday. Thank you so much, Josh. Follow Josh.
Keeping it thug.
And Josh, too, you know?
And that's Josh. I'm Adam Moe. This has been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate
fuck yeah.
It.
All right. See you next Tuesday, guys. Peace.